California's prolonged drought has had many effects throughout the valley, but one of the most expensive and longest lasting could be happening right under your feet. Heavy dependence on historic, irreplaceable groundwater is causing something called subsidence, leading to parts of the valley sinking by as much as a foot a year. Valley Public Radio's Jeffrey Hess spoke with hydrologist Jim Borcher, who says it could cost more than $1 billion in damage.
Is the subsidence different than it's been before?
Well, it's surprised people for the second time now, or the third time. Yeah, the subsidence was first noticed in California in the Santa Clara Valley in the late 20s, early 30s, when they had about 100 square miles that had subsided by a foot or more, and 14 feet of subsidence in San Jose. So that was pretty shocking when that came out. And it cost them eventually $750 million or more to build levees to keep the bay from flooding subsided areas and to put levees and embankments around streams so they wouldn't flood and they could still discharge the water to the bay. They had to build larger sewers and additional sewers and pumping plants to get rid of the runoff from storms that had to now be pumped out of the low-lying areas. It could no longer flow by gravity to the bay because the bay would flow the other direction if they tried. And they had to elevate roads and bridges and build levees around the salt ponds. And many, many wells were destroyed when the ground collapsed and broke them. And some of these costs are not one-time costs. They're legacy costs, meaning that to run all these pumping plants to get rid of the storm runoff from the rainfall, they have to buy electricity. And so these costs continue in time indefinitely. Since then, we've had various environmental regulations requiring certain quantities of water to be present in stream channels to sustain fisheries and to keep the water quality, the salt content of the delta, in manageable limits so that the pumping plants can send the water south into the San Joaquin Valley in Southern California. And so the primarily agricultural interest and cities in the San Joaquin Valley had to, again, use more groundwater. And that's been referred to as an environmental drought. We also had the current drought, which has limited the availability of surface water tremendously. And, of course, groundwater, again, was relied on. And in some cases now we're putting wells down 3,000 feet. And these things are very expensive. Subsidence has started up in the last 10 years, some cases more than a foot a year in two big areas of the San Joaquin Valley. We have a 2,700-square-mile area where we've had more than a foot of subsidence in the Tulare Basin, and further north in the central San Joaquin Valley, about 1,200 square miles with a foot of subsidence or more near El Nido. That's between Madera and Los Banos. So we had a lot of damage in the San Joaquin Valley over a period of decades, and we seem to forget about these problems and when we're not using the groundwater system and groundwater levels recover, and then are shocked to find out that, gosh, it's back again when we have droughts and we're pumping. As the water level rises in the canals, because of the subsidence pooling, it can overtop the canal embankments. It can erode the non-concrete parts of the embankments that are typically at the top edges of the canal embankments. And water levels have to be increased to a higher and higher height in order to get the flows that are needed downstream. Some of the canals may not run the right direction anymore and may have to install pumping facilities in order to bring the water to where it's needed. Canals damage wells. Subsidence damages wells, but when the land compacts and settles, it tugs on these well casings and can collapse them telescopically into themselves, and we see probably thousands of wells that have been damaged that way. And they're very expensive. The design life of a well might be 10 years. And it might cost $500,000 to put a new deep well in or more. We've seen that the lateral extent and depth of flooding increased. Pipelines and check dams and bridges have been submerged. The buck canal lines, linings, concrete canal linings have been buckled. We have declining freeboard on the canal embankments, on river levees, and in particular on flood bypass levees, which is very dangerous. If we do get an El Nino year that fills those flood bypasses and we have overtopped levees, could be catastrophic flooding in parts of the San Joaquin Valley. And I have to say that although subsidence is very dramatic when you see a catastrophic effect, most of the time the entire area is subsiding at a rate that's not obvious to the naked eye. You can look out over the San Joaquin Valley and not realize anything's happening until water comes in and shows you, a flood comes down and shows you where it's happened. So it's not like an earthquake or a forest fire where it's a sudden emergency and all kinds of resources are thrown at it to solve the problem. It's a subtle thing. It's a drastic thing. As a matter of fact, the San Joaquin Valley subsidence is probably the largest alteration of the Earth's surface by humankind. Nobody knew what was happening until they started having some very deleterious effects on getting the floodwaters out of the area. So it's kind of a sneaky problem, or science problem.
You listed
the San Joaquin Valley, we think, I've tried to put together the various estimates of damage, and it looks like we're talking in more than $1 billion in damage to canals and roads and pipelines, condemned lands, irrigation networks and pipes, and the reduced carrying capacity of canals and sedimentation in flood channels. Where flood channels sag, the gradient steepens of the channel upstream, and the sediment is eroded and deposited in the pool. So there's a sand removal process that needs to go on and a levee raising process that needs to go on. If the rivers were to flood, if the flood channel levees go, in this particular reach of the river restoration, there are developed areas, schools, and other facilities that would be inundated.
And you sort of answered this question, but if we get this El Nino, it's not going to reinflate the valley?
No, it isn't. No, matter of fact, parts of the valley and other places in the United States that have been heavily developed, like, say, the High Plains Aquifer in the Midwest, are really pumping water that recharged thousands of years ago. Maybe more than that. So they call it fossil water. So just because we get a few years of rain and recharge, we're not gonna refill the aquifer to the extent it was before the subsidence. And the biggest change, other than the fact that it takes a long time for some recharge to get to the deep aquifers, is that you're never gonna get the water back into the clays. It's like water in the clays is called water of compaction. When it comes out, it can't go back in. So it's like an inheritance, a box of gold that's buried in the backyard. Its value, if you take some out, you can't put any back in there. And if you do take it out, you better have a real good plan. You better really need it because it's a one-time resource. And you can say that in California, we haven't planned well for the use of that water of compaction. And what we're looking at is the effect of that with these legacy problems of subsidence.
Yeah, that seems to be, aside from bridges, the biggest concern you've talked about is how California is heavily engineered how we move water around the state, and that would be the most expensive impact from the subsidence.
The canal networks themselves and the public canals were another big cost. We've talked about those. But the private canals, the irrigation district canals, the water agency canals, those costs are not really itemized in the published literature and oftentimes aren't accounted for separately outside of normal operation and maintenance budgets. They'll just be handled by the O&M staff at a water agency, and they'll raise their levees or they'll concrete up an area to keep erosion from happening without having separate accounting for the effects of subsidence. And the same thing goes for roads. If you look at the county highway departments or the Caltrans maintenance operations, subsidence is not listed as a cause of road damage, and it likely has some effects. We know that several of the roads have subsided 10 feet. These roads across the valley, Route 152 up near El Nido, has had over the years many feet of subsidence and probably some repairs associated with that.
Yeah, and to your point, it will make it much more expensive, not just in repairing and raising canals, but, I mean, potentially having to install pumps that you then have to pay for, for their foreseeable future, just make it a lot more expensive to move water. It's a weird conundrum.
It's a weird conundrum, and it's even weirder when you think that, for instance, there are other causes of subsidence, like the oxidation of peat deposits, old organic swampy material, and the Sacramento-San Joaquin Delta. That area is farmed. They pump the groundwater out of the islands on the delta, and the peat oxidizes, and the land surface drops, in some cases more than 20 feet. Now, if we have an earthquake during a high tide or associated with global sea level rise, it'll flood those islands. If it floods those islands, salt water will come in from the bay, and it will increase the salinity so much at the pumping plants that they can't send water south in the California aqueduct because it's too salty. So in that case, the subsidence in the delta will actually cause more subsidence in the San Joaquin Valley, where everyone will have to pump to make up the difference in the water they're not getting from the delta. So it is a vicious circle. And the difficult thing is, what do you blame? Do you blame the droughts? Do you blame environmental regulations that say water has to stay in the streams? Do you blame the cities and ag interests that pump groundwater? And it's all connected. You know, you can't just point the finger at one group and say, you're causing this.
But it is exacerbated by the drought now.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And the ag interests, the farmers, are kind of caught between a rock and a hard place. They're fallowing their land because they don't have the water to put on their crops. And the only water they do have is in the groundwater, and that just makes the system worse as subsidence happens. It's a tough problem. And everybody's hoping that this new Sustainable Groundwater Management Act will help organize and coordinate surface and groundwater use so that the system becomes sustainable by 2040. We're really hopeful that'll work. It's a difficult problem when you see a lot of these high water use crops that are planted out there in places that used to be rangeland or row crops.
That was hydrologist Jim Borcher talking with Valley Public Radio's Jeffrey Hess about the problems with subsidence in the San Joaquin Valley, a problem that he says could cause up to $1 billion in infrastructure damage.